Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today as we meet together coast to coast, around our radios in America, and all the way around the world on this God Is podcast. How are you today, tonight, at whatever time you may be listening? I think of you and pray for you, and I will be delighted if you will do the same for me. We are the body of Christ, and that is what we do for one another. We remain persistent in prayer for brothers and sisters in Christ until the moment of His appearing on the clouds to take us to our eternal home. At a time of great division, let's pray the body of Christ remains unified. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? I hope so. And if not, come along with us as we explore the Bible in order to discover who God is. I pray for you also that as you listen, God will speak clearly to you through the Holy Spirit and bring you into fellowship with God's only Son, Jesus the Christ. If you would like to know what it means to be a Christian, to be a part of the body of Christ of which I speak, then go to our website and click the Gospel at the top of the homepage. The web address is godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Once there, click on the link for The Gospel. You can also get in touch with me through the website by clicking on Contact. And stay tuned, my email and mailing addresses will be given shortly. I hope that you've been with us as we again return to the theater and rejoin the Book of Job in progress. Just this little reminder that if you miss God Is on the radio, you can always get it as a free podcast and never miss a beat. I know of several listeners who say they enjoy listening more than once. They learn more that way. The podcast is great for this. Of course, with the podcast, you can rewind or fast forward. You can put me on pause and come back to it. You can choose the speed at which you want to listen, and you can share what you are learning with others. I definitely want to encourage you to check out the God Is podcast. And you might ask, well, how do I do that? Here's how. It's easy. Just go to godisministry.org online, and the podcast will be waiting for you right in the center of the homepage. Just press the play arrow, and you'll hear my voice. And at the bottom left corner of the same homepage, click Subscribe to Podcast. And get God Is on your phone and tablet. Listen on the go. We're on Apple iTunes, Google Play, and Pocket Casts. This is also easy to do. Never ever miss God Is every weekday. Available now at godisministry.org. As always, email me or write to me with any questions. Now, here we are again in our seats as we look at the stage. The curtain opens on Act 2, Scene 4. Yesterday, we moved rather speedily through Act 2, Scene 3. We heard from Job's second friend, Bildad, and we listened to Job's response to him, as well as some prayers Job made to God. In Job chapters 8 through 10, could we have spent longer in that scene? Oh, sure we could. But our time is limited. So as we proceed through Act 2, which covers chapters 3 to 31, we need to keep up our pace. If I pass over a verse or verses of particular interest to you, and you would like my thoughts on those, write to me today. As we come now in our Bibles to Act 2, Scene 4, we meet Sophar. I remind you that initially Job has three friends who come to visit Job as he scratches his sore boils out on the garbage dump. The friends are Eliphaz, Bildad, and now Sophar. I'm guiding us into Job chapter 11, as Sophar begins his dialogue with Job. And you might remember from our introduction a couple weeks ago that Sophar is very legalistic. He emphasizes God's law. He is a moralist, and he is dogmatic. He lays down certain principles as unquestionably true. Reading him, you would think that God has absolutely no mercy. Zophar's name means rough, and he is rough. Now, he begins with the same exact false accusation that the other two brought against Job. I'm reading Job chapter 11, verse 2. Zophar asks, shall a multitude of words go unanswered and a talkative man be acquitted? That's Job 11, verse 2. The talkative man here is Job. Note the word acquitted. Acquitted would be like the jury of God saying, you're innocent, Job. And what Zophar means by this is, Job, you are guilty. You are guilty of sin. It's the same theme all over again. Job suffers because Job has secret sin in his life. Zophar also ends chapter 11 with the same accusation. Read Job chapter 11, verse 20. Job 11, verse 20. He ends the way he begins. And then Zophar calls Job a liar. This is Job 11, verse 3. Shall your boast silence men? And shall you scoff and none rebuke? Job 11, verse 3. In other words, Job, you know you have this sin. You are keeping it a good secret from us, but you have it. And this is why God is causing you to suffer this horrific experience. Stop lying about it. Stop covering it up. Do not scoff our rebuke. Now, Zophar is living down to his name, rough. He is rough and unmerciful, and he is also wrong. He does not know what has happened in heaven. We could say, with friends like these, who needs enemies? And this should cause us to reflect. What kind of friend are we to hurting people? Are we sometimes giving advice and counsel that we are wrong about? There is so much we do not know. We are in the dark on most things. We have now met these first three of Job's friends, and we have heard what they have to say. They all have similar arguments to make with slightly different approaches. They each insist that Job has secret sin in his life, but again, we know that is not true because God has told us that from the earlier passages in Job chapters 1 and 2. In the tumult of suffering, pain, and anguish, which is so common to being human, we have a hard time figuring it out within ourselves. Imagine then how smart we sometimes think we are to be so definitive when we give others advice about why they're going through a trial. In counseling ministry, as a pastor, I would have these people come to me very hurt by what their friends had said to them. The problem was the well-intentioned friends did not really understand what was going on. For example, a woman who is thinking seriously about divorcing her husband for his infidelity. Her husband had been unfaithful to her, and she was visited with several friends, Christian women, who had advised her on what to do. Well, several of them were quite harsh with her. Excusing the husband's behavior, they cracked down on this wife. The mentality was, there must be something wrong with you. You must have contributed to him spending all this time with the other woman. Any divorce will be partly your fault. Next thing I know, she's out to dinner with my wife and myself, angry, bitter, and questioning her friends and herself. What should she do? This is real. Sometimes friends give a lot of answers before asking a lot of questions and really waiting for the facts. We are quick to speak into other people's suffering, but then we feel hurt when others speak into ours. So perhaps one lesson in reading Job's three friends is this. Admit there are things we do not know. Be patient with friends. Do a lot of listening and less talking. Do not presume answers. Oftentimes, what hurting people need is not answers, but just our presence. Go over, bring dinner, sit and listen, share a pot of coffee or tea, and dig into the ice cream together. Ice cream! Now that soothes a lot of pain, doesn't it? Well, this is all that I'm going to say about Zophar's first speech to his friend Job. And the reason for this is that I want to preserve time for Job's response to Zophar in Job chapters 12 through 14, and I'm going to save that for tomorrow. please plan to be back with me at this time on this station or via this podcast. As we move towards the close today, I want to relate what I have been saying to the current events transpiring not only here in America, but also all around the world. For example, we have many people in Hong Kong who listen to this God Is podcast. Hong Kong has had violent protests there as the citizens respond to swift changes being imposed on them by the government in Beijing. And all across the United States, violent protests have broken out as our citizens respond to injustice imposed on us by the murder of an African-American man in Minneapolis. As I watch all of this unfold and talk with friends in both places, I am, of course, deeply concerned. You may not live in America or Hong Kong, but wherever you are, don't problems seem to abound? Difficulties with no easy solutions? Now is a time when people are suffering, pain, trauma, anger, real worry and fear. And I suggest to you that now is a good time to encourage your friends and family by asking questions and waiting for the response. Be patient with friends and foes alike. Do a lot of listening and less talking. Do not presume answers. What this country needs, and what I believe all people everywhere need, are Christians who will share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who will serve as peacemakers. We have the answer to all of this. The answer is Jesus. Only Christ will give a person peace, peace with God and peace with one another and peace within oneself. As we learned not long ago on this broadcast and podcast, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." All Christians are commanded to be peacemakers, so let this be in our communities and families. I believe we can apply what we are learning from Job to our present situations. Let us find creative ways to love and serve one another. Let's reach out to hurting people. And join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.